chapter or not. I'll read from chapter 18 through the end of the chapter, through verse 1 of chapter 4, rather. And we'll see how far we get this afternoon. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in single heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive a reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, as we come before you this afternoon, Lord, we know that your word is very practical. Your word speaks to us where we live. And Father, it's not by chance, but it's by the inspiration of your Spirit that you led Paul to write more than one of his letters about these same topics, because this is where we all live. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to realize how you desire for us to live as a new person in you. Speak to us through your word this afternoon, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's very interesting, if you look at the scriptures, God is very practical. He teaches us what we need to know for where we live. And as you look in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, as well as his letter to the Colossians, as well as his letter to the Romans, you see some interesting things that he covers in all those books. And why does he keep emphasizing it in different letters? Why did God bring it to his attention? I believe this because every person in this room lives in these areas. We all live in families. We all have families of one type or another. We all come, and at one time or another in our lives, we'll work at a job. And if we're to be new creatures in Christ, and if we are, as the Bible says, put on the new man, if we are to be new and possess the characteristics of Jesus that we've been looking at, this will be the fourth time we've met since we started this particular portion of the scripture. We need to realize that Christ wants us to do that every day, even as we saw this morning, every moment, where we're at. With every word, with every action, we're to reflect who Jesus is and be obedient to the Lord and understand that he wants to work through our lives every moment of every day. And so I believe that God would start with that which is most important to him, and that's a family. If you look at our own country, the history of our nation has been that we've had strong families. When I was a young boy, divorce was something that didn't happen hardly ever. Family structure was very important. And the Word of God said that families are the foundation and the basis by which God passes faith from one generation to another. It's where he passes values from one generation to another. And the things that we learn as children, and we all, even I don't care how old you are here today, at one time you were a child. And you learned things as a child, and you were taught things as a child. And things that you were taught as a child, some of those things you're even doing and applying in your life now as an adult. And those who are children here, you need to understand that God has placed you into a home for the purpose of having that home to be where the mom and dad are there to instruct you and to teach you and to help you to grow and mature into young men and women who will also reflect the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the great blessings that we have here, and I believe that all of us who are here today can thank the Lord for this, in that we have Christian homes. Some of us didn't grow up in Christian homes, But all of us have a home where Christ, we desire for Christ to be the center now, at least as far as I know, of those who are in attendance. Some people may listen to this tape and may not be in a Christian home or may not have come from a Christian home. But I want us to share this afternoon what God's plan is for the home, why it's so important, and why Satan would attack it so hard. Also, if we get time, we're also going to take a look at the workplace, because that's the second place that Satan is attacking extremely hard. The two places that God says that every person needs to understand what our position needs to be in Christ. Let's begin by looking at the home. Why would the home be the place that Satan would attack? Well, first of all, he doesn't want anybody to take the responsibility within the home. There are three elements within the home. There are the mom, the dad, and the children. Now, all homes don't have children. God hasn't blessed every home with children. But the majority of families do have children. Although in our nation, it's amazing. Satan has made children less and less important in our culture. And that's a lie from the pits of hell. We understand from the scripture that children are a blessing from the Lord. And Satan doesn't want people to believe that. He also doesn't want people to take seriously the responsibilities that he has given to those three elements within the home. And this afternoon we're going to be taking a look at what Paul says about this. First of all, I want to say the scriptures are very clear. There's neither male nor female, bond nor slave, slave nor free, Greek nor Jew, but we're all one in Christ. And we're all equal in the eyes of God. God is not a respecter of persons. He's not a respecter of persons according to our sex. He's not a respecter of persons according to our nationality. He's not a respecter of persons according to our social position. Rather, he looks at the heart. And he desires for all men and women to bow the knee to him and come to Christ. Having said that, it's also interesting that God, even though all are equal before him, yet he gives different responsibilities to different people in different times. Within the home, the husband and wife are equal in the sight of the Lord, but they have different responsibilities. And Paul lays out the responsibilities of the wife and the husband here. It's interesting, I was in preparation, I was just looking at this, and it's interesting how we should live in the family. How we should live in the family. First of all, there should be a family altar. That is a time where the family spends together in prayer. Time the family spends together in God's Word. And it's important that this be done. It's important that the children cherish that time. I want to just share something with you in reference to this. First of all, I've shared before that I did not do this as good as I should have done when my girls were at home. And it's one of the regrets I have. But I want to tell you right now, children, if your parents, if your mom and dad take time to read God's Word to you and to pray with you, you have a blessing. You have a blessing that there's a lot of children, and especially in our nation today, there's a lot of children don't have that. A lot of children in our country today don't have a place where the family goes before the Lord, and they've got a mom and dad who want to teach them about God. And it's sad. And what we're seeing is the results of that in many young people's lives today. I've never seen so much rebellion in the lives of young people as I've seen in the last 10 years. Right now, out in the West Coast, there's a group of young people, they call themselves Antifa, and they live for rebellion. Everything that God would hold dear, they rebel against. And I stop and think, how sad. How sad. They have no joy. They have no peace. They think that it's wonderful to go and treat people horribly and to do all kinds of wicked and evil things. And I thought, what a blessing for a Christian home where children can learn the importance of not rebelling, but walking in obedience to the will of God. And I look at what Satan has done in our culture today, and he wants to take away our focus on the Lord. And you know, you look at the way that he's brought into a lot of people's lives all kinds of things that we think are so important that become very addictive. And I'm just not talking about chemicals that we can put in our body. I'm talking about things that we can do with our lives. We cannot allow anything to become so addictive that it takes the place of God, because then it has become God in our life. And Satan desires to do this in the lives of all within the family and within the home. And the first thing that we need to understand is it needs to begin with the family altar. The second thing is, the father needs to understand the place of authority within the home and exercise that not as someone who lords over authority, but rather he exercises it in wisdom and love. Wisdom and love. What did we say wisdom was this morning? Remember, we talked about wisdom. I want to tell especially young people, you want to make a difference in the world, become wise. Grow in wisdom. Any one of you, any one of us, can gain all kinds of knowledge. We can become very smart. But you know something, as I mentioned this morning, I've seen smart people that are book smart, but their life foolish. I've also seen people that are so smart that they become proud within because of their smartness. They've got all this intellect, they think. They think they know all these things. But one of the amazing things is I had heard a man say one time, which is a very wise man. He said, the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. Because, you know, if you ever stop and think about it, growing in wisdom is the application of knowledge. And part of applying knowledge is to apply what God reveals to us, but also to realize we don't have all the answers and we need to go to the Lord for those answers. And that's part of the father's responsibility, is to be able to impart wisdom onto his children. That is, not just give them intellectual knowledge and intellectual advantage, but impart real life wisdom that's based in God's word. I've seen a lot of people that they will attempt to get their child the best degree possible. They'll make all kinds of sacrifices to send them to the best college that'll give them the best job. But if they haven't given them spiritual wisdom founded in the Lord, they've given them nothing but more problems in life. So that's what the father's one responsibility is to not only be the leader of the family, but he is to exercise this in wisdom and love. The wife and the mother, the third thing I want to just mention this morning, the wife and the mother must realize her first responsibility is to God and family in the home. Now, as you're looking at this, do you see some things that have happened in our culture where Satan's attacked this? He's attacked fathers and that they don't really see any great significance. A lot of them really leave it up to mom to do all the raising of the kids. And women have been told that they can never achieve their full potential by staying home with children and raising children in a home. I remember reading about Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley was an amazing woman. I believe she had 17 children. Charles and John were two of her boys. Charles and John made a tremendous impact on the world. We sing Charles's hymns quite often. We've got a number of them in our hymnal. His brother John was more of a preacher. Charles liked to write hymns, although he was a preacher too. And Charles, before he would ever put out one of his hymns for anyone to sing, would take it to John and say, can you check to make sure this is theologically correct, that I haven't done anything wrong here that's against Scripture and what I've put down in words? Where do they get those ideas from? Their mother. It's interesting, Susanna Wesley's greatest prayer was for her children, that they would grow up to love the Lord. She invested her whole time into the lives of her children. Now, I want to tell you, Susanna Wesley never preached a sermon. She never, as far as I know, I don't think she wrote any hymns. But she had children that did. Who never would have done it had they not had a mother who prayed for them every day, a mother who poured out her life into their lives, that they would grow into men and women who loved Christ. Today our world would say Susanna Wesley was foolish because she was a very brilliant woman. She was. She probably could have done anything. In today's world they would have said she should have. But I want to tell you, no woman has wasted her life who's invested it in her children. And that's what God is saying. The fourth thing I want you to understand is the husband and wife need to present a godly example to their children. And their children need to see in their lives a mom and dad who love the Lord. And if you've got a home where mom and dad do love the Lord, you need to realize you have been blessed above all things. Because there are many homes where mom and dad don't love the Lord. And where God isn't mentioned except to be a swear word. And if you've got a home where mom and dad love the Lord, you've got a godly example that being set for you, and you should be able to learn from that example, that you in turn may establish your own home someday where you can be the ones who are setting the example for your children. You know, it's interesting as you look at this. We talked about it before, and it's a message that isn't often preached on. And that is being unequally yoked. About young people, that they go out and they don't look at the spiritual qualifications of the one that whom they would spend the rest of their life with. And how foolish it is. It's both in the Old Testament and the New Testament that God said it was extremely important that we look at those of whom we would marry or become spend the rest of our life with. If you're young today, and we've got a number of young kids here today, I want to challenge you, just don't be attracted to someone because they're pretty or handsome. Don't just be attracted to someone because they're witty and clever. Just don't be attracted to someone because they've got the same interests that you have in life. But be attracted to someone who is godly in character and who desires to serve Christ. And if you are a Christian, I want you to understand, do not marry someone who is not a believer in Christ. Why? Because you will have and present to the children that you bear in that home an unequally yoked and a front which is going in two directions. And the scripture tells us what happens in that home. There's an uncertainty of direction. There's the children aren't given a direction that is true. In the Old Testament, God warned against Israel having their sons and their daughters marry young people from the Canaanites who were idol worshippers. Why? Because they did not believe in the true and living God and they did despicable things. Sometimes Israel obeyed, sometimes they didn't. When they didn't, it brought great grief. I can think of where my wife and I in our devotions, we've been reading through Genesis, and it's interesting. You don't have to go too far before you all of a sudden find that very thing happening where there's an unequally yoke occurrence happening. It's in the life of a man by the name of Esau. Esau grew up in a home where he is the grandson of Abraham. He is the son of Isaac. He knows that his grandfather Abraham sent his father Isaac. Abraham sent his servant back to the land where there would be people who believed in the true and living God to find a wife, that would be Rebekah, Esau's mother, who believed in God. So that Isaac would not be married to a Canaanite woman who didn't believe in God. What does Esau do? Instead of listening to his grandfather and living by his example, listening to the example that his father had of marrying a woman who loved the Lord, Esau goes out and he marries two Canaanite women. Not just one, because God said you should have one wife for life. Esau goes out and marries two. And they're both Canaanite women. And then when Isaac and Rebekah are grieved and vexed in their hearts because of these two girls. Why do you think they're grieved and vexed in their hearts? Because they're taking their son down a road that's against God. Because that's what they loved. And guess what? They know that their son has got a propensity to go down that road, and now he's got two wives who want to take him that way. So they send Isaac off to the relatives where God is held up in esteem to find a wife. Or to send Jacob, rather, to the relatives where God is held up in esteem to find a wife that believes in the Lord. Know what Esau does when he finds that out? Instead of repenting, instead of talking to his wives and saying, you know, we've got a serious problem here. He goes to an uncle, Ishmael. And he goes to his kin, but guess what? They don't believe the way that Laban and his family believe. They're idol worshippers too. And he takes a third wife and vexes his parents even more. It's important. Family's important. Being united is important. It's not a joke with God. He just didn't say, this is an option that I'm giving you. No, this is a command I'm making for you. Do not be unequally yoked. And so young people, keep that in mind. You may think, well, I'm just really young. It's a long ways away. Keep it in your mind. Place it in your heart. Because years fly by quickly. Believe me. And you need to be prepared. And needs to be preparing with you. And the other thing is, if you don't believe in Jesus, and you're not married, don't do like some people I know and pretend they believe in Jesus so they can get a Christian young man or a Christian young lady to marry them, and they have no intent of ever converting to Christ. What a wicked thing to do. And what a thing that Satan would love to destroy the unity of a home. The fifth thing that God is talking about here is a family unit needs to be maintained. It needs to be maintained. What has Satan done? He places all kinds of temptation in front of people today to try and break down and destroy the family unit. But it's not just divorce I'm talking about. I'm talking about what the Bible talks about. We talked a few weeks ago during Father's Day, I believe it was, where I went back to Deuteronomy and I read what the responsibilities were of a father and mom, the teaching times. Every day is a teaching day. Every opportunity is a teaching day, whether you're sitting down, whatever you're doing, you're to be teaching and instructing in by your actions and words about the Lord. But if you ever looked at what's happened in our culture today, family units going like, even if the home is supposed to be intact, how many meals do they eat together? How much time do they actually spend together? It is so important for people today to have their kids in all these activities. Now, I was in a lot of things when I was growing up, but it's different today. When I played Little League Baseball, we weren't training to be professionals. We weren't practicing 3 hours a day. We didn't have, 40 games during the summer. But that's what kids do today. They're 9, 10, 11 years old. They're taking road trips to South Dakota, road trips to Nebraska from North Dakota to play ball games, to play hockey, to play basketball, to play football, to play baseball. Having our kids in so many activities and trying to make them professionals as 9-year-olds that they don't even know who mom and dad and their brothers and sisters are. The Bible tells us that we're to be a family unit. And we're to learn from our parents, and unless we're there, we're learning from somebody else. And that's what I see Satan's great scheme is. Have all kinds of other people besides mom and dad be the ones that instruct our children. The football coach, the baseball coach, the dance instructor, this person, that person, whatever activity is in, and the kids are running from this activity to that activity to this activity, and they never are spending time with their mom and dad and never sitting around a meal together. I shared with you before, some of the most blessed times we had was sitting at the table with our kids and discussing things with them around the table. But if you're always running, it'll never happen. And mom and dad can be just as busy. Just as busy. The sixth thing, disciplining the children. There's an interesting thing the scripture tells us to discipline. It tells us how to discipline. It says, never discipline in anger. Never discipline in anger. It also says, never punish unjustly. I remember, I wasn't my parents, but when I was in high school, some of us kids one time went to town and we were going to go around and just visit some of our teachers. And we were walking down the street and we probably shouldn't have been in town, but we hadn't done anything. We really hadn't done anything. We were just going to visit our teachers. But it was that time of year when there'd be a lot of pranks pulled. And so some of the high school kids had taken some of the farm machinery out of one of the lots and pulled it into the middle of the street. The city policeman came up and said, would you kids mind helping me get this stuff back into the farm lot where it needs to be? And we said, sure, we'll help you. Where do you want us to put it? He said, well, put it back where you took it from. And we said, well, we didn't take it out. We're just walking over to our teacher's house to say hello to them. And he got really mad at us and was actually trying to punish us. That's unjust punishment because we really hadn't done anything and we were just trying to help him. And there's ways that you can do that with your children if they haven't done something and you punish them. Just make a sweeping generality and we're going to punish everybody because I don't know who did it. That's unjust punishment. We're not supposed to unjustly punish, but we are supposed to justly punish. And when punishment comes, you should understand the importance of it. So that we learn right from wrong. We learn consequences to actions. We learn that there's reality that needs to be dealt with. And you are so blessed if you're in a home where just punishment occurs. Because in that home, you've got parents that love you. I had a friend, I wouldn't call him a friend, there was an acquaintance I had in school, and my mom didn't really want me to play with him. And I couldn't figure out, because this kid was always funny. But my mom said, no, I don't want you to play with him. You know why? His parents never punished him. And they made excuses for everything he did. And he was always in trouble with somebody because he was always doing something that was wrong. But then his parents would come and say, well, he couldn't have really done that. He's such a good boy. They didn't really love their child. Because guess what? When you grow up, if you develop that as an attitude that you can get by with anything and whatever I do is right, There's coming a day where you're going to meet someone who will justly deal with you. And then consequences are real. And you don't have mommy or dad or brother or sister there to come and say, well, he's really just a good boy, just you're misunderstanding. And so it's important that we understand the role of punishment in the home. There's a reason the Bible says to spare the rod, you spoil the child. If you don't punish the crime justly, you are leading a child to believe that there are no consequences to life, and ultimately, there are no consequences with God. And we need to understand that sin has real consequences. Sin has real consequences. The seventh thing, the scriptures tell us that we're to teach children and that we're to teach them in a manner that they should bear the yoke in their youth. And it's not that they go out and earn the family, that you've got kids, so great, I'm not going to have to work. They can go earn the money for mom and dad. No. But you teach them how to work. I want to tell you that one of the problems you have in our culture today, which we're going to not have time to look at it this morning, so we'll have to look at it either next Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, and that is the workplace. But just to give you one example that I have in trying to find people to work. Nobody has taught their children how to work. When I first started working for my father-in-law, Norm Birch, who's in the hospital now, but that was in 1973. And you know, one of the places we would go to hire people, he'd go and find kids that grew up on a farm because they knew how to work. And he could bring them in and he could teach them how to do something because they knew how to work. Their parents had taught them how to work. They'd had to work. It was part of the family growing up that they were responsible. And working, they were also taught responsibility, that there were things that you were accountable for and responsible for. And so you could take a young man or a young lady that grew up in that situation, you could bring them into the workplace, and within a matter of just a few months, you could teach them a trade, and you could teach them what they needed to do, and you could actually leave them alone and they'd do it. Today, and not so much the case. It doesn't matter if they grew up in the city, grew up on the farm, the first thing they've got is their fingers and a phone. And they want to sit and go like this. And I sit and go like this. And nobody seems to know how to work. You teach them something and they say, well, that's too hard. Or, I don't really think you should do it that way. And they've worked there for 2 days. And they're trying to tell the boss what to do. You see, they haven't learned how to work. They haven't learned responsibility. And that's what the Bible says, that parents are supposed to teach their children. And children should gladly learn how to work, how to be responsible, and how to be accountable. I want to tell you today, our culture, Satan has gotten people so bamboozled that it's all about me, that there's very few people, young people coming up that really know how to work and really know how to be responsible. If you've got parents that are trying to teach you how to work, how to be responsible, how to be accountable, and that you are to be obedient, you will have such a big head start on the rest of all the people that are growing up and going into the workplace that you will shine like a star. Why is that? Our culture is turning away from God, and you as a Christian should be living your life and doing things so different that you'll be doing it God's way and you'll be shining. And that's part of the responsibility of the parents to make that preparation. One thing, and this will probably be the last thing, and then we'll quickly close with a couple things. But the last thing in the points is, parents should not be ambitious for their children for carnal worldly things. And I want to tell you, that is a real problem in our culture today. Parents being ambitious for their children in worldly things. It goes back to the whole concept of the splitting up of the family, everybody going their different way. Part of it is, I remember a man that he'd always dreamed of being a big hockey player, so guess what he did? His kids became big hockey players. They were sent to hockey camp after hockey camp after hockey camp. They played on hockey teams. They went to hockey schools. He farmed them out when they were still in high school. He farmed them off to like the Fargo Forest in town here. Do you realize when Fargo Forest first came, I thought it was like guys that were in their 20s that weren't quite good enough to make it. No, that's not what the Fargo Forest is. The Fargo Forest is 16, 17, 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids whose parents have farmed them off to a minor league hockey team so that they can become good enough so that one day they'll get a scholarship to go to college, and then they'll be good enough so they can go to the NHL, and then they can make a whole bunch of money. What have they taught them is most important in the world? Athletics and money. Athletics and money. More important than being with mom and dad. More important than learning from mom and dad. More important than a home. More important than God. Because your whole life is to revolve around hockey and money. That is what a parent is not to do. A parent is to instill in their children, first of all, an understanding of who the Lord is, and that we're accountable to God. That is the greatest gift that any parent can ever give to their child. And encourage their child to serve the Lord throughout their whole life. Susanna Wesley's prayer for her children was that they would serve God. And they'd be a blessing to the Lord and a blessing to people for the Lord. Well, I didn't get through all my points and they're already over, so we're going to stop. But we'll probably talk a little bit more about this on Sunday and then go into the workplace. Because Satan is definitely attacking these two areas in our culture, the home and the workplace. You see, if he can destroy the home and the workplace, he's gone a long ways to destroying people's understanding and vision of who God is and how God works in people's lives. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this, help us to understand the importance of establishing Christian homes. And Lord, even if we don't have children at home anymore, or even if we've never had children, help us to understand that we're to be supportive of people that do have children in their homes and not do things that would undermine what they are attempting to do to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And help us to take opportunities to encourage young people and adults to walk in obedience to the Lord and begin at the home. You know, the people, God, you've placed us in homes where we see everybody every day. The home is a place where we know each other's sin better than any place else. But it's also the place that you've given to us to have instruction to overcome our sin through the power of your Spirit and the blood of the Lamb. Lord, go with us now, we pray, and help us to understand these truths, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.